There's a land of fadeless day, the city was great. Each shall never pass away. God shall wipe away your tears. There's no pain, no pain, no fears. In the calm time, not by years. In that city, yes, the calm, and the calm time, not by years. In that city, I bear all the gates of Pilamid. In that city, oh, that day of gold I lay. Oh, in the night, oh, night, oh, yeah, 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 God shall wipe away your tears. There's no pain, no pain, no fears. In the cold time, not for years. Oh, there is no. Oh, yes, yes, and they come, time not by years. Oh, there is I bear, oh, let me have with her clothes in that city. Their life's crystal river flows in there, and there is no, oh, God shall. And they come, time not by years. So they, oh, yes, they count, and they come, time not by years. So they say, I bear, there no need, no sunshine bright in that, oh, in that city. For the Lamb is all the light, and there is no, oh, God shall wipe away your tears. There's no death, no pain, no tears, and they come, time not by it.
For there is no night,
yes, they come,
and they come,
time not by it.
There is no night there.
Let's sing one more, Brad John. Let's sing one more song. Saints, we do greet you in Jesus' name this morning.
Amen.
Let's just approach the Lord once again. We do greet our visitors. Brother Francois' nephews are here, Gail, Arsene, and Renal. God bless you to them. Marble, Brother George's friend, Sister Liana's, is here with us again. We do greet her. Welcome once Amen. Again. Brother Michael from Ireland. Not sure who wrote that one down. And then God bless, and Sister Mummy as well. God bless you, sister. Amen. Like Kent Henry says in his songs, if you're going to give the Lord a hand clap, give him a good one. Amen. Amen. We also want a dedication at the end, so we'll remember that. And finally, let's remember Brother James in praise at work today. Let's sing one more song, saints. Let's come to a time of prayer today. Let's put ourselves before the Lord before we come to the preaching of the word.
In praiseless
chains, bleeding stripes, Paul and sigh.
Let's pray that night. And in the pain
began to sing.
Well, they began to sing the chains. Oh,
and they were free.
I bless your name.
I bless your name.
I bless your name.
Oh, I give you all.
You are
the true.
Let's come to prayer. We have one very serious prayer request here. Brother Brian Locke, he sent a request for his wife, Sister Carol. She's in for an operation, a very serious operation this week. We were with them a few weeks back. So let's remember Sister Carol before the Lord, that the Lord may be the great physician there. Let's come before the Lord. Whatever your request, put your soul in his presence. Let's enter within the veil. Let's lay ourselves aside. Let's call upon his name. Father, thank you that you've given us grace once again upon this day. Thank you that you've given us breath. Thank you that you've given us life. Thank you that you've given us another opportunity, another chance, Lord, to come into your house, Lord, to gather as your people, to wait upon thee, Lord, to bring ourselves before thee, Lord. Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, to worship you, Lord. To worship you, Lord. Let's open our Bibles to Exodus chapter 17. Exodus 17. One more announcement as well. Just want to say firstly, Sister Sheki, it's so nice to see her back again. God bless you, sister. Brother Maxwell was away last weekend with the saints there across in England, and there was a big Voice of God meeting as well that was there at the same time with youth and so forth. So Brother Maxwell's come back with a real good inspiration of something which we'd like to do on Wednesdays. We want to have a special meeting on Wednesday evening service, especially for the young people and the parents of the young people. But obviously, everybody, please, whosoever will come along. Brother Max was saying that the Lord really gave him something when he was there, and he wants to come and share it. He also wants to give a testimony. Would you mind giving it on Wednesday? Would that suit you, bro? The brother wants to give a testimony of the weekend. So let's all come Wednesday, special meeting. Let's keep it in prayer, and may the Lord bless whatsoever the Lord has laid upon the heart of our brother. Amen. Let's read Exodus 17. We'll just read verse 8 first of all. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And then we'll skip down to verse 13, down to 16. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. It's a serious thing when the Lord says, he looks at a certain people because of what they've done and he says, I'm going to blot these people out from under heaven. It's a serious thing to think about. These people must have crossed a line which they shouldn't have crossed. The next verse. And Moses built an altar immediately after that. And he called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. So this is where we find the next name of the Lord, Jehovah Nissi. Why? He says, verse 16. For he said, because the Lord hath sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Let's just bow heads. Father, how glad we are to be on your side. Father, how glad that you're the great captain of the host of the Lord. How glad that you are Jehovah Nissi and that you've gathered us under your banner in this age. That, Father, you've raised up the standard once again. You've sounded forth the trumpet and that we've responded, Lord. And Father, you have said who is on the Lord's side and we have responded in this age. And Father, our refuge is in you. And we see, Lord, the enemy. We see him coming in like a flood. We see it all around us, Lord. But you've raised up a standard. Father, you said that the gates of hell will never prevail. So, Father, we're coming, Lord, to present ourselves before thee once again in service and duty, Lord. Father, what a wonderful thing that it is to gather in your name. What a wonderful thing to sing, to bless your name, and to worship you. Father, how we want to thank you for grace. How we want to thank you, Lord, for life. I want to thank you, Lord, for the sunshine. I want to thank you, Lord, for the breath that you've given unto us upon this day. I want to thank you for the message of the hour. I want to thank you for your word, your light, your truth, your grace. And now, Father, we need your mercy upon this day. Won't you bless this service? Pray for Sister Carol, Lord. You see this operation that she's going for, Lord. Father, I just want to lift her up unto thee. Father, trusting in thee, you delivered her last time, Lord. You wrote a testimony for your great name's sake, Lord. May you just go before once again. Father, we send forth the word of healing even at this time. We send forth your word, Lord, of grace, Lord, of wisdom and intelligence upon them that would handle even that operation. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that, Lord, there'll be a good report. Because whenever you come, Lord, something good takes place. So, Father, we call Jesus on the scene upon this day. And, Father, bless your people gathering around and about. Brother Christian, bless him and the saints. Brother Tom across in England this weekend, bless him, Lord. Bless the saints in Banbridge. Bless the saints gathering this evening in Belfast. Brother George Quinn, the saints across there in Donegal. Bless your people, we ask and pray. And Father, we're dedicating ourselves to thee, giving ourselves to thee. We pray for Wednesday. Give us a blessing as we gather in your precious name. Father, lead us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Saints, you may be seated. I'm going to do something today which, you know, just, we've been looking at these names of the Lord and finally we got onto Jehovah Nissi here. And when I started to study on Jehovah Nissi, it really tied so much in with some of the things we've been looking at in the last few months. And also, it speaks so much of current events. And I think it was just one of those times where we need just to catch up with some of the current events again. Because right from the beginning, I want to say this, is that this world and the spirit of this world is Antichrist. The newspapers, the way they report things, the television stations, the way they report things, they don't do it with a godly influence upon them. So it's very, very easy for people, if you're not careful, if you're not looking at what's taken place through the eyes of the word, it's very, very easy to be swayed with the world. You know, when I was across in England and we were traveling with some saints in the car going to Brother Crosby's meeting, the brother was honest with me, he was driving, a real nice brother, and he said, brother, when the Bible says we shouldn't curse Israel, it's not an easy thing to do when we see what's happening there in Gaza. And I said, be careful, brother. Be careful the way you look at these things. Because the world's going to present one way, but many, many times, and most of the time, that's not the truth. Amen. That's the way that the devil wants to reflect things, because he's got his agenda. So I just thought we'd take this, because we've just read there in Exodus 17, the Lord says he will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. So the Lord is going to be Jehovah Nissi from generation to generation, because the spirit of Amalek is going to rise up from generation to generation. And God hates that spirit. God hates the spirit, as we'll see, that came upon Amalek for the things that he did. And friends, in this generation we're living in, that spirit is alive and well. That spirit of Amalek is prospering throughout this world. It's governing this world. And you will see it applies to us. It's going to affect us very big time down the way. But mainly it's going to affect Israel. Natural Israel, the spirit of Amalek. But God has sworn that He'll reveal Himself as Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. Whenever the enemy comes in this kind of a way, Jehovah is going to reveal Himself. So that's just our thought. So I'm going to do this with some slides today because it's quite a big topic. We can't finish it today. We'll try to finish it next time by the grace of God. Today we want to look down the line of Israel, natural Israel, where they are now, and see the way that God has dealt with them through the ages. No, and just get a bit of an understanding of why things are the way that they are. The next time we look at spiritual Israel, we look at us. Because the same devil who hates natural Israel hates you and I as well. Because we spiritual Israel. We're both children of the covenant. They're the natural seed of Abraham. We're the spiritual seed of Abraham. We're the royal seed of Abraham. So those same devils that hate Israel, the same devils that hate you and I. And maybe they put their target in a natural sense at this time upon the land of Israel. But friends, upon spiritual Israel, persecution and trouble is never far away. So we just want to just build it up from there. So our thought is war with Amalek. There's going to be war with Amalek from generation to generation. That's what the Bible says. Now, let's not forget our blood moons. Because I thought it was a good thing just to remind one another of having done these blood moons. We saw that this event, these four blood moons happening on the first and last Jewish feast this year and next year, 2014, 2015, a very unusual event. It's always an event that something transpires in Israel. And we looked at this some months back, so I just wanted just to remind the saints about it, because the first blood moon, the Passover, 15th April this year, has passed. So we are already in the midst of this first season here. You know, so we should be seeing, if we write in the way that we see these things, and I don't think that you can be wrong looking through the eyes of the message. We went also and had a look at what the Jews believe about these things. Remember what the Jews said. Their holy books, the Gemara, the Jews say, during the time the sun is stricken, an eclipse of the sun, it is a bad omen for idolaters. That's the Gentiles. They call us the idolaters. But during the time the moon is stricken, those blood moons, the eclipses of the moon, it is a bad omen for the Jewish people. And friends, that was in April. We had the first blood moon. And Israel is in a lot of trouble at this time. Amen. There's a lot of events taking place. And it's not just in Israel. It's around the world as well. I'm not sure the next one. Yes, I'll just show the slide here. The cover of Newsweek that's just come out is Exodus. Why Europe's Jews are fleeing once again. It's amazing. It's all over Europe. The spirit of anti-Semitism, the hatred of God's chosen people, the Jews, the covenant people of God, has risen up and is showing an open face once again. And we can see we're living in that season again. And friends, what happens to natural Israel happens to spiritual Israel as well. You'll see what happened to Brother Donnie Reagan just a few months back for preaching the truth. And you see the way that right around the world, his name became dirt. And they slandered him and libeled him and said a lot of things that weren't true. And you'll see, maybe it's not yet the season. But friends, the season is coming for us as well. And we're just so glad that God always has a solution. That it always raised the banner. Jehovah Nissi will always gather his people to himself first whenever the enemy comes in this kind of a way. And in this article in The Guardian, it says, anti-Semitism on the rise across Europe. In the worst time since the Nazis. So something's taken place, friends. Now, if you just read the newspaper, you just skip past it, you just spend all your time on Facebook and those things, you'll never see. But friends, it's a time where things are taking place. Amen. And the things that are taking place for a purpose and for a reason. And these things have been prophesied in the scripture. And these things have been highlighted in the message of the hour. And these are signs of the times. Remember where you saw when it was the blood moons that in Genesis it says that the Lord put the moons for signals, for signs and for seasons. These are like the flashing red lights of His coming. These are things that take place in the heavens because things take place in the heavens first before they unfold on the earth. So when we see something like that, and it's interesting because the Jews took a lot of attention to these blood moons. And you see what's unveiling itself now in Gaza and so forth. And what's happening in Europe, There's a spirit that has risen up once again. And I want to show you that it's the spirit of Amalek. Amen. It's the same spirit of Amalek once again. And the Lord will raise up a standard against this. Amen. But they're speaking about, in this article, in the Guardian, they say, in the space of just 1 week last month, in France, 8 synagogues were attacked. So this is getting back to how it used to be in the days of Hitler. One of them in the Paris suburb of Sarcelles was firebombed by a 400-strong mob. A kosher supermarket and pharmacy were smashed and looted. The crowd's chants and banners included, "Death to the Jews! Slit the Jews' throats!" And that same weekend in Barbre, another place, another neighborhood, stone-throwing protesters burned Israeli flags, calling them it Israel, using the word of hell. And then it continues on about in Germany, how places were burnt and people were beaten and so forth. And they say, across Europe, the conflict in Gaza is breathing new life into some very old and very ugly demons. That's the word which they use. So you find those same spirits that have always been there, because friends, people die, but spirits never die. Amalek died, Hitler died, the Caesars of Rome persecuted the Jews, they died. But the spirit that was upon those people is alive and well. And in fact, is having a revival in this age. Because hell has opened its gates, friends. And Paul told us the only thing that holds back the full malice of the devil against the children of God is the sovereignty of God. Is that Satan cannot work outside of the purposes of God. He has no jurisdiction himself. God puts bits in his mouth, the prophet says, in the devil's mouth, and makes him work according to the purposes of God. Amen. But we can see this world is getting into a very, very nasty place at this time. Then they spoke to the leader of the German Central Council of Jews, and he says, these are the worst times since the Nazi era. This is on the streets, you hear things like, the Jews should be gassed, the Jews should be burnt. He says, we haven't heard of those things in Germany for decades. And anyone saying these slogans isn't criticizing Israeli politics, it's not that. It's just pure hatred against the Jews. And they've just found something, Gaza, and they're taking this as an advantage now to show what they always felt, taking an advantage of this situation. And that's the season that we're living in. Now, we see the rise of Hamas. Hamas is the spirit of Amalek made flesh. We're going to see that. We see something having risen up. And the most amazing thing to me is there's never been a more like harsh terrorist organization than Hamas. Apart from these guys, ISIS, who are their cousins, doing what they're doing in Iraq there, beheading people and so forth. But incredibly, the world backs Hamas against Israel. I find that the most incredible thing. When you see what these people stand for and the way they behave and the way that they go forth with their war and their agenda, you just wonder how it can be that the world can side and back Hamas rather than back in Israel. It shows it's a spirit, friends. The prophet says there's a spirit that got among the nations in the days of Hitler and Mussolini and so forth. It was a spirit that made them hate the Jews. And the reason they hated the Jews was simple. It's a spiritual warfare. It's the covenant children of God. And whenever you see a child of God coming near to possessing his inheritance, whenever you see the children of God moving into their position, you've got to expect the devil to respond. You've got to expect that. So we see Hamas. Now, I just wanted to put this. Maybe it's not so good to show a cartoon, but this one is exactly the truth. I really thought it showed things. The first one says Hamas attacks Israel. Then Hamas attacks Israel. Then Hamas attacks Israel. Then Israel defends itself. And there's the newspaper reporters. Israel attacked Gaza today. And that's exactly what's been happening. Amen. They're so selective on what they report. Amen. It doesn't matter how one-sided things are. That's the only side which they're gonna report. Let Hamas shoot its rockets. Let it come through the tunnels. Let it blow up people with suicide bombs. The world says nothing about that. United Nations is silent about that. Let Israel send one plane in and civilians get killed because it's such a populated area in Gaza, and see how the whole world rises up in condemnation against Israel. Friends, it's not right. It's not right the way that it is. It's a spirit that's upon the nations. And you will see as we get closer and closer to the end, as we approach the squeeze, just before Jehovah Nissi rises in his fullness in the midst of his bride, as we get closer and closer to the squeeze, we're going to understand this spirit more and more. Because this spirit is starting to control and govern the governments of the world, the news organizations of the world, because it's an ancient conflict. This conflict is nothing new. It didn't start now. It started right in the beginning. Because there's only two forces at war. And that's God, the power of God, and the power of Satan. And there's a conflict. And everything which we see unfolding itself among the nations is simply the manifestation of these two spirits in this great spiritual warfare. So I said right from the beginning, friends, we do feel sad when civilians are killed. I mean, many innocent people get caught up in these things. You know, to see children being killed when they bombed and different things, nobody could but feel sympathy for people like that. And we do. Because this is not wrestling against flesh and blood. Amen. You know, it's not the flesh and blood that anybody has anything against. I don't think there's any person here has anything against Palestinians. I've got nothing against Palestinian people. I'm sure there's many good Palestinian people. There's Palestinian Christians. I wouldn't be surprised if there's Palestinian message believers. It's not the people. It's the spirit behind what's being done. Like the prophet says, we have nothing against the Roman Catholic people, but it's the system. That's an ungodly system. We'll see it. It's the same spirit of Amalek. The Roman Catholic Church, in their own records, put to death 68 million Protestants, men, women, and children, torturing them in the Inquisitions. That same spirit that we see manifesting now upon these radical Islam is the same spirit that's in Rome, friends. But it just hasn't had its opportunity to fully express itself. Maybe we'll look at that next time, just to show when it gets into the tribulation period and we see the full manifestation of what's behind this World Council of Churches. What's behind this, everyone coming back to Rome. There's a spirit behind these things. And we had a prophet in this age who warned us of these things and says, you stay away from that. You stay away from that because that's death. That's the pale horse rider. Death, his name is, and hell follows him. And you don't want to have anything to do with him. So before he rides, what's going to happen? Jehovah Nissi is always going to rise up, raise up his banner, blow his trumpet, gather his people to himself. And he says, in every generation, we make war with Amalek. So today we're going to make war with Amalek. We're going to make war with Amalek using the sword of the word. That's what you're going to do. Because believers sometimes get influenced in the wrong way. And we need to see things the way that they really are. We need to see these things the way that the word and the way the prophet in our age unveiled them for us. So this is trouble. The prophet said in 1957, just when there was the Sinai War, he says, we see scriptures being fulfilled. He says, we see Ishmael and Isaac at each other's throats once again. He says, this is prophecy being fulfilled. It's always going to be like this. Friends, we're going to see it. Ishmael and Isaac and Esau and Jacob are always going to be at odds with one another. Right to the end of the age. Because this is a spiritual conflict that's taking place. Amen. Now, Hamas. The word Hamas appears in the Bible once. This is from a Jewish website. The word Hamas appears in biblical Hebrew. It's Hamas. That's how you're supposed to say it. It refers, Hamas speaks of an evil, violent chaos. And that's what Hamas is, friends. It's an evil, violent chaos. You put those kinds of people in charge in Iraq, look what they're doing. They're slaughtering men, women, and children. They're rounding people up and murdering them. What for? Just because they don't believe with their radical beliefs. Just because they refuse to bow down. Friends, this is nothing new. Like I said, this has happened all through the ages. Amen. The ancient imperial Rome did that to the Christians and Jews. Amen. The Roman Catholic Church did it through the Dark Ages. And now we see it coming into Islam. And we'll see it next time. One of the greatest friends of Islam, who is he? Is Papa. Amen. Pope Francis and Pope Benedict are some of the greatest friends of Islam. You'll see, because it's the same spirit, friends. Amen. They may have different ideologies, but how can they feel so at home with one another? It's because of that spirit that governs them. It's not the people, it's the spirit behind the people that's driving them to do the things that they do. Just as much as we don't want it to be us, we want it to be the spirit behind us, leading and guiding and pushing us to do the things that we do. But we want it to be the spirit of Christ. We want it to be the spirit of life, not the spirit of death. We want it to be the spirit of edification. That when we, under the influence of the Holy Ghost, we build up, we don't pull down, we don't destroy. But this spirit of Hamas, it's a spirit of chaos, friends. It's evil, violent chaos. And there's one verse in the Bible that speaks of Hamas. It says that in the section of the Torah, introducing the story of Noah, it says, "Now the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth became full Hamas." The earth was full of violence in our Bible. But the earth became Hamas. And the Lord looked down and said, "I'm going to destroy the whole thing." Because in every generation, God will have war against Amalek. Because that's really the full manifestation of the spirit of Satan. When he gets an opportunity to express himself against the children of God. He hasn't had the opportunity against us. We do thank the Lord for that, friends. There may be believers who have been persecuted. I'm not too sure. But friends, I'm so glad that I've never ever so far had to go through the full vengeance of that. And God has something for his people. That's why he sent us a rapturing message. Because just when the devil's going to spring his trap, Jehovah Nissi takes his people out of the way. But it's the foolish virgin that are left behind. The prophet says they'll be hunted down like dogs. And they'll have to die because this fool spirit of Amalek will have full control. Because Amalek himself, the fool, greater than Amalek, the beast, is going to rise up and take his position. And then he's going to show his true colors in this tribulation period. So the earth was full of Hamas. Now listen to what the prophet says in "Why Am I Holy Roller?" He says, "Now the foundation of all Bible teaching begins in Genesis." Everything. The word Genesis means the beginning of the seed chapter. So if we see something now, in politics, unfolding itself in the world system now. We're living in the harvest time. So we should be able to trace back and see where the seed came from by going back to Genesis. It says, "Now in Genesis was the seed chapter, all the seeds were sown. Everything that you find in the world today came out of Genesis. Because everything began back there in the beginning." So you want to trace and just see how did things get to where they are at this time. So he goes on to say here, let's read Genesis 27 verse 41. Let's go back and find out the root cause of these things that we see. Beginning in Genesis. It says in verse 41, "And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father had blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, 'The days of mourning for my father at hand, then I will slay my brother Jacob.'" So we find that Jacob, who's the natural ancestor of Israel, who's there now, he had a desire. And his desire, which God put in him, was for the birthright. He desired the blessing of Jehovah. He desired the covenant blessings of Jehovah. That to him was the most important thing. But there was Esau, who was his twin brother. From the same father and the same mother, the same bloodline. He desired an earthly inheritance. His appetite to fulfill his own natural desires ahead of the spiritual birthright. And God says, "Esau have I hated and Jacob have I loved." It was that attitude in the people that God loved. Although Jacob had his mistakes, friends, Israel's got its mistakes. I'm not going to say Israel are perfect because they're not. But you know, the world at the moment is anointed by the spirit of Balak. Amen. And the spirit of Balaam. Because remember, Balaam said, "Let's go back and see the back parts of the people." And Balak took him there and says, look at the mistakes they're making. That's what the press is doing, friends. Amen. This world press is governed by the spirit of Balak and the spirit of Balaam. It just goes to look for the back parts of Israel. But it doesn't look within the unseen. Yeah. The prophet says, when Balaam went there and says, "But look at all the mistakes. Look at all the faults in Israel." The prophet says, yes, they'd committed all the sins on the calendar. He says, but Balaam failed to see. Amen. That there was the shout of the king in the camp. That there was a blood sacrifice which Jehovah had already made for them. That the king was dwelling in the midst of his people. That these were the circumcised sons of God. Friends, it's the same as you and I. You find when believers get out of the spirit and they get the spirit of the world upon them, we start looking at each other with a critical eye. And we just start seeing the faults and the failings in one another. That's the spirit of Balak. Don't allow the spirit of Balak upon you. Get the spirit of Christ upon you. Because the Lord, when he anointed Balaam with the spirit, Balaam says, the Lord has not beheld perverseness in Israel. God says, no, I don't see anything. There's a blood sacrifice. Before God brings a people into a covenant, he's going to make an atonement for them first. Because we people of flesh and blood. We're going to make our mistakes. We're going to fall short. God's going to have to make a perfect atonement for us first so that he can continue to dwell in the midst of his people. But the world anointed with the spirit of Balak and their prophet Balaam, which these days is the press, friends, it's prophesying all these things about the back parts of Israel. And you've got to be careful you don't allow that anointing to come upon you. Because the very thing that you fellowship with, the same spirit comes upon you. Amen. Whatever you're siding with and sympathizing with, Israel has its mistakes, friends. Amen. They're not born again people running Israel. Netanyahu's not born again. He's a natural man. But friends, God put that man there. Amen. Netanyahu means a gift from God. And that is a gift from God to the Jewish people. And at the moment, they're appreciating the gift that God gave them. And they're rallying around that man. And that man is standing his ground. Amen. But there's intense pressure. There's the pressure from all over. We'll see it as we get into it. To make them compromise. And in the end, they're going to compromise. And they're going to make a covenant with Amalek, a covenant with death. And they're going to get themselves in an awful amount of trouble. And Michael's going to have to rise up, Jehovah Nissi, to deliver his people. Otherwise, there's going to be nothing left of Israel. That's where we're heading into, friends. And that's what these things are the precursor to. That's what we're seeing unfold itself in this age. So, because Jacob, because his mother told him, knowing that when he was born, remember, when Esau and Jacob were born, right when they were born and they were striving in the womb, Rebecca, Rachel, his mother went to find it. What does this mean? And the Lord said, the younger shall be the ruler. And the older shall serve the younger. Therefore, the first one to come out was Esau. But according to God's predestinated plan, it wasn't Esau that should get the birthright. It was going to be the younger one, Jacob, to get the birthright. Now, he used his natural means to get the birthright. Now, like the prophet says, he was a shyster. You know, he went and covered himself with the skins to get the blessing. And he went into his father and he says, his father says, who are you? He says, I'm Esau. And he says, but it's the voice of Jacob. Come near, my son. And his mother had put skins on his arm so that he felt like hairy Esau. And that he smelt like Esau. And his father smelt him and said, oh, it's the smell of a field. And Jacob received the blessing. Isaac, not knowing what he was doing, but the impulse of the Holy Ghost came upon him, and God spoke his will, and he blessed Jacob. Then Esau, a few minutes later, came in having got venison for his father to feed his father, because his father loved Esau more than Jacob. Yet his mother loved Jacob more than Esau. Doesn't mean, like the prophet says, prophets can make mistakes, but God will correct them down the way. And you find the prophet had the wrong understanding of God's program at that time. But God's grace overruled it all. And then in came Esau. And he says to his father, he says, my father, I've brought you the venison that you asked for. He says, who are you? He says, I'm Esau, your son. Then he says, who was it that came in here a few minutes ago? And then he got in the spirit, Isaac, and he says, it was your brother. And he's stolen your blessing. And then he says, and he shall be blessed. Because he knew that didn't come from himself, that blessing. That blessing came from the Most High. And he knew that he, being a prophet, he couldn't overrule the program of God. But because of that, there came a hatred inside of Esau. There came a hatred inside of Esau. And we're going to see Esau is the ancestor of a vast portion of the Arab countries, including those people that are in Gaza. You see, we can trace them all the way back to Esau. So you're going to see this struggle and this fight that we see in the papers day by day and on the internet. It didn't start now. This started in Genesis, the gene chapter, in the seed chapter of the Bible. And this is just a contention of these brothers right down to today. So he says that. He says, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then I will slay my brother Jacob. And he's never changed. Never. Because of the birthright. Now what is in the birthright? To the Jews or to the peoples of the past living in those days. The birthright was so important because there were two specific elements. There were other things involved, but the two most important parts of the birthright was the promises of the Messiah. In the birthright was the promises of the Messiah coming to those who had the birthright. You would get the messianic blessings and promises. Friends, the Arabs aren't interested in the Messiah. They're not. The Ishmaelites aren't interested in the Messiah. They're not. They speak of the fifth Imam or 12th Imam or whatever. That they don't even know which Messiah is to come. But Israel is hungering and thirsting for their Messiah. Amen. They're looking for their Messiah to come. Because that's part of the birthright, is the promises of the Messiah. And the second important part of the birthright was the inheritance of the land of Canaan. Whoever had the birthright had the rights to the promised land. And that's why there's trouble. Because Jacob is back in his birthright now. Israel is back in Canaan. They haven't got the full birthright yet because there's the Ishmaelites and different ones on the inheritance. But just as it was in the beginning, the hatred and the animosity started because Jacob possessed the birthright. He received the birthright. And that's exactly what the struggle is going on about now. Is you find these Edomites, the children of Esau, and you find the Ishmaelites, the children of Ishmael, are contending with Jacob. Because Jacob has gone back to possess his birthright. And Satan can sense that. Satan knows where the blessing is. Satan knows where the promises reside. The covenant promises of God. Esau received his blessing. He received Edom as a kingdom. Mount Seir. You'll go and read it in the Bible. God gave him a portion. He gave him his oil wells and he gave him his black gold and all the things that he's got there in Saudi Arabia and so forth. Doesn't mean God didn't bless him, but God didn't bless him with the birthright. Amen. And you find the Ishmaelites as well. They received the inheritance. They had Sinai and all those different places down to Egypt and so forth. They receive a blessing. God does bless them. When Israel came out of Egypt, God says, you cannot go and take the inheritance of Edom. You bypass their land. Because God's not an Indian giver. But God gave them a natural portion. But God didn't give them the most important thing. And it's like the denominations in this day. They have their portion, friends. They have the blessing in a measure. But there's a people of God. It's the covenant people of God to whom apply all the covenant promises. And God gathers them as Jehovah Nissi in every age. He gathers them under the banner of the message of the hour. So he can reveal the full promise of the Messiah to them. The full blessings of redemption to them. But it doesn't mean other people don't get a blessing as well. God's healing people all over today. God is delivering people all over today. God is saving people all over today. Just as much as God has blessed those people that have embraced Islam. The sons of Jacob and the sons of Esau. You'll find each had his blessing, but it was a different kind of a blessing. And Jacob wanted the spiritual inheritance. And you'll find that in the soul of any genuine believer. Doesn't matter if you have to live in a small house. If God doesn't give you that as your inheritance, it's okay. Doesn't matter if you don't drive the best car. That's not what your soul is thirsting for. Your soul is thirsting for Him. It's for the covenant promises, the spiritual blessings of the covenant. That's what governs your life. Because you were predestinated unto that. Just as much as Jacob was predestined that he couldn't rest until he got the birthright. He couldn't rest. He would do anything he could. Doesn't mean all the means that he used were right. Doesn't mean all the means that Israel is using now are right. But there's just something governing them. They know this is our land. This is our possession. This is the land of our forefathers. This is the covenant promise of God to us. And that seed is expressing itself. And there's another seed surrounding them as well now. From their cousins and their brothers. They're from the same line, bloodline, way down the way, coming from Abraham himself. But they're governed by something different in this age. Just as much as it was as we went through the times of the Bible. And we know that. So, if you put up Genesis 27, 29, but I didn't put it on my slides, if you wouldn't mind. Let's just have a look at this blessing. When Isaac blessed Esau, he still gave him a blessing, but look what he said. Genesis 27, verse 29. This is the first blessing. He says, first of all, sorry, this is when he blessed Jacob. He says, let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Friends, how many nations are serving Israel now? Is it not true? Israel even gets 3 billion United States aid every year to arm itself with the finest of weaponry. Nations, they serving Israel. You see, the blessing of the Gentile church is towards Israel. We bless them, friends, we do. We desire to do what we can to help them. That was part of their blessing. He says, be Lord over thy brethren. That's what Satan hates, is that Israel is to be Lord over his brethren. He is to have the preeminence. And that's why you can find a little sliver of a nation, 150th of the land that the Arabs have. And the Arabs have maybe 100, 200 times more people than Israel have. But who has the preeminence there? It's Israel. Who has a preeminence in science is Israel. Who has the most Nobel prizes is Israel. Who has the greatest, one of the greatest technological sectors in the world now? It's Israel. Such a small little sliver of land that you can almost throw a stone to the other side. But part of the blessing was, you'll be Lord over your brethren. That's the blessing of Jehovah. And let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Who was his mother's son? Jacob. It was Esau. So the Lord said, let Esau bow down to thee. But Esau doesn't like that, friends. Esau never wanted that. Listen to the end of his blessing. Cursed be everyone that curses thee. Up to today. Cursed be everyone that curses Israel. Cursed are you if you cursed Israel. And I would be wise enough to watch my mouth in what I say. And how much more spiritual Israel? If he says, curses he that curses natural Israel, how much he who curses spiritual Israel? We need to be careful what we say, friends. Cursed be everyone that curses thee, and blessed be he that blesses thee. And that's how all through history, you can see the rise and fall of kingdoms was dependent on the attitude towards the Jews. Come study history. You'll see as soon as they turned against Israel, watch how the empire went down. When Britain didn't fulfill its mandate, was unfaithful to the Jews, wouldn't allow the Jews to come in with their ships from the Holocaust and that into Palestine, wouldn't allow the Jews to come and settle in the place which they were supposed to settle in, what happened to the British Empire? Where's the British Empire now? Yet the British Empire used to rule right from New Zealand all through India, Pakistan, right to Canada. It used to go right across the world. Friends, you cannot break the word of God. Amen. He says, blessed is he that blesses thee, and cursed is he that curses thee. Even if you're a message believer, be careful. Amen. Don't curse Israel. Amen. They're the children of God. This is a covenant God made right in the seed chapter of the Bible, right in Genesis. And he shall be blessed. So Jacob says to him in the end, your brother came with subtlety and has taken away thy blessing. But God ordained that. And you find the nations now, there was a big thing. They got all these big leaders together, these big, whoever they were, politicians the other day, 40 of them in one meeting, and they said, ask them a question. Was Israel a mistake? Saying, allowing Israel to be formed. And all 40 of them said yes. All 40 of these people of this world. But if you ask a believer who knows the word, is Israel a mistake? No. That's the fulfillment of God's word. Heavens and earth will pass away. God's word will never fail. That's the purpose of God. That is one of the signs, the greatest signs of the end time. When you see the fig tree putting forth his buds once again, Jesus says, know that the end is near. He says, this generation shall see the end of all things. That's an important part of the scripture. Now, so Esau hated him because of this birthday. Put the slides back on, please, bro. Now, let's just remind ourselves once again, friends. Psalm 105. Let's just read it together. Just to remind ourselves of the principle of God. From verse 7. This is the Psalm of David. He is the Lord our God. He's Jehovah. His judgments are in all the earth. We see it now. He hath remembered his covenant forever. He never forgets his covenant. Amen. The word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. Amen. What was this word? Which covenant he made with Abraham. Amen. And his oath unto Isaac. Amen. And confirmed the same unto Jacob. Amen. Not to Esau. To Amen. Jacob. For a law. And to Israel. Not to Ishmael. Amen. Or anybody else. To Israel. Amen. For an everlasting covenant. Saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan. Amen. The lot of your inheritance. And to thee he gives the land of Canaan. Amen. When there were but a few men in number, yea, very few and strangers in it, when they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another, in their tents, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Amen. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes. And he hasn't changed, friends. He hasn't changed. Let nations rise up and bless Israel. Watch Canada now. Blessing Israel. Stephen Harper, the president, is the greatest friend. The president of Australia has risen up now. Very good friend of Israel. But friends, the prevailing spirit of this world isn't like that. Those people have to withstand tremendous amount of pressure to stand for that which is right. Saying, touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. And God never changed. He reproves kings. He'll change nations. He'll do whatsoever. That's why if you look at the papers yesterday, here's in London, 150,000 protest in London for an end to the massacre in Gaza and to the arms trade, saying Britain shouldn't supply weapons to Israel anymore. And to me, it's always like this if you look at the newspapers. London weather, Hurricane Bertha remnants to hit UK. It always does. Remember, we looked at it once before. God breathes with the breath of his nostrils sometimes, friends. God will be proving a point to say, you people are gathering, I'm going to rain on your parade. He does that. And then they wonder how this Hurricane Bertha comes from right there in the Caribbean. And they say, it's so unusual, the jet stream lining up right for London, friends. And the remnants of this hurricane come and hit directly onto London. The same God who rose up a storm in the days of Jonah still raises up storms today. The same God who created a storm to bring a prophet down in an aeroplane so that he could go and pray for a certain young boy who was predestined to life. He's the same God who creates storms today. You can say it's just natural events. It's not natural events. God's word says, you curse Israel, I'll curse you. I'll curse Israel. And that's why the same page of the internet, when you open it up, you find the two events always side by side. Side, we've seen it before. It's never changed because God's word can never change. But you know what it's like to me, friends, the way the press and the way the world is today. You know these 150,000 people. You know what I can see over here? I can see Jesus and Barabbas. I can see Jesus and Barabbas. And I can see Pontius Pilate saying, here's the promised word, Jesus. And here's Barabbas, a murderer. Hamas, violent chaos, a murderer. Who do you want me to release to you? And what did they say? Give us Barabbas. Give us Hamas. We don't want Israel. Away with Israel. Let it be crucified. Give us a murderer. Hamas. Is that right, friends? That's the spirit of the devil upon people. There's no other way to say it. The prophet says it in the message. What shall we do with this Jesus called Christ? He says, the educators and the people of this day can't see it. He says, they are blinded. He says, in that day, they chose rather instead of that lovely Jesus. We hear the cry come out, crucify him. And Pilate said, what shall I do with this Jesus that is called Christ? They said, away with him, crucify him. Who shall I release to you, Barabbas or Jesus? Then he says, they made the rational mistake, choosing a murderer instead of a life giver. And who's been the life giver to the world? Where did Christ come from? He came from Israel. The promises of God manifest through Israel. They're the natural olive tree. We are the wild branches that have been grafted in. They are the root and the stock. To them belong the covenant, Paul says. To them belong the promises. Christ is going back to them in the end. They're going to have their full inheritance in the millennium. The kingdom of David when Jesus comes as the son of David. But look at the spirit that's upon the world. Give us Hamas. Give us the murderer. There's nothing of life in him. He's just death. He'll blow up himself to blow up a bus full of children and women and innocent people. And the world is very silent about that. But let Israel just, when Hamas goes and puts its missiles right in a school and shoot, and Israel will tell the people, get out of that area. And Hamas will tell them, go and stand with your chest bared, die as martyrs. And Israel drops a bomb in there and innocent people die because of what they've been taught by their leaders. Look how the world rises up against Israel. Look at the condemnation. It's not right, friends. It's the spirit of the day that we're living in. It's the same spirit that was upon those people when they said, give us Barabbas, the murderer. Instead of give us the Prince of Life, Christ himself. It's crazy. Okay, let's get on to our topic then. Well, I'll just show this one just to show the winds. They work both ways. I'm sure many saints saw this other day. I'd seen it on the internet and some saints brought it around about what happened in Israel last week. Hamas sent across one of the big missiles, the ones they're getting from Iran. It was coming straight towards Tel Aviv. We were there with Brother George at the train station. And if you read the article, it's a very good article because the commander of the battery of the Iron Dome missiles, he gives his testimony. And he says, we saw the missile coming, Iron Dome shot, and it missed with the first missile. They only get two chances. He says, the missile continued towards Tel Aviv. We shot the second one, and it missed. He said, we alerted the emergency services saying it's coming straight down to the Tel Aviv train station. Expect multiple casualties. He says, because there were hundreds of people there. He says, and all of a sudden, there came a strong east wind. He says, and it just blew the missile. Of course, it had landed in the sea. And that's what they're showing there. They say, hand of God prevents rocket from striking its target. Israeli Iron Dome operator says sudden gust of wind blew missile into the sea when the defense missiles fell. And friends, there's many testimonies like that if you go and look for them. If you look in the Six-Day War, when you see those soldiers were coming, trying to take the Israeli soldiers, trying to take the Golan Heights. If you watch on that one, Brother George knows the film called Against All Odds. And they're interviewing the man who was there. And he says, we're going forward at night. He says, and all of a sudden we realized we'd walked into the middle of a minefield. And he says, I had to tell my whole battalion, stop, don't move, because we're in the middle of a minefield. And they said, what are we going to do? He says, take out your bayonets, your knives, and just go slowly, slowly. We'll have to find each one and disarm each of the landmines. They said, but it's going to take all night. We're never going to get to our target. He says, and then there came an east wind. He says, it was so strong. We don't know where. He says, I've never felt a wind like that before. And the wind came and blasted them for a few minutes. And the wind stopped as quickly as it started. And it had blown all the soil off the landmines. And he says to me, he looked in the moonlight when the clouds went. And there were all the landmines. And we just walked through all of them on the way. You see, God is still in charge of those things, friends. Because he that keepeth Israel shall not slumber nor sleep. Because they're the covenant sons and daughters of God. How much more you and I? Sometimes he seems to be silent, friends. Jesus is sleeping in the boat sometimes. The prophet says sometimes he's resting between the revivals. And will be wondering, there's a storm, trouble is coming. Surely, Lord, I'm going to perish. No, no, no. Jehovah Nissi will rise up. Jesus will rise up every time to speak to the storm. Before one hair on your head perishes, he says. Sometimes he allows it to go far. But he knows exactly when to rise up and to display who he is. And that's the testimony of every believer. Sometimes you don't know why he's not answering now. But has he ever put you in a situation that he allowed you to get to the stage you were embarrassed? He says, none that trust in me shall ever be put to shame. A It may go right to the wire. It may go right to the end. But he'll always rise up because he's Jehovah Nissi. And when the enemy is coming in like a flood and the enemy thinks he's going to have his way, you see the way he rises up. He says, now is my turn to have war with Amalek in every generation. And he fights against that spirit. So just as much as the same wind blows the storm to rain on their parade there, the same wind blows away the missiles of the enemy. It's strange how it works, but it just shows the power of a covenant. Amen. Doesn't mean the people there are all perfect, friends. There's a lot of iniquity in Israel. It's called Sodom in the book of Revelation. And Egypt, it's called that because there's a lot of things taking place there that you don't want to speak about. But there's the remnant of God's seed inside of there. There's 144,000 of his covenant children. Now, let's trace now and find where did Amalek come from. These are the sons of Esau. These were dukes of the sons of Esau. Duke Korah, Duke Gatam, and Duke Amalek. So Amalek was the son of Esau. That's where he came from. And he inherited the same genes as his father. The same hatred for Israel as his father. And that's where the Amalekites came from. The Amalekites trace right to Esau, and you can trace them back to Abraham. They're not just like a serpent seed in that sense. Spiritually speaking, they're used in that kind of a way. But that's not the genealogy. Now in Deuteronomy 25, this is what the Lord says to Moses. He says, remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way when you came forth out of Egypt. You don't find this in Exodus 17 when it speaks of war with Amalek. But there was a lot that took place there which shows us the characteristics of these people. And the Lord says to Moses, remember what they did to you. Verse 18. How he met thee by the way and smote the hindmost of you. So when Israel was coming out in the Exodus, what time was it? It was Israel coming to their inheritance. This is when the spirit always rises up. Israel was coming out of Egypt in an Exodus. They were coming right on the boundaries of the promised land. They were about to enter the covenant land that Jehovah had given to them. And the devil rose up now in Amalek. And he does the same with you and I. Whenever you start taking the covenant seriously, start seeing how the devil starts getting, doing things and rising up in ways in you and around you and in people around you. That just, but where is this coming from? It's war with Amalek, friends. You've got to expect war with Amalek. He says, and he smote the hindmost of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee, when thou wast faint and weary, and he feared not God. Friends, what does that sound like now? Those Muslims. Amen. ISIS and them. Amen. What do they do? Who do they fall upon? Do they fight face to face? Does Hamas fight face to face? It doesn't. It infiltrates, tries to get to the kindergartens, gets bombs on the buses. Who does it strike? Does it get the soldiers and say, let's have a real war here? Never does. That's not the spirit that governs them. They look for the opportunity. And when Israel was faint and Israel was weary from the journey and people, old people and maybe lame people who couldn't walk properly had fallen behind the rest, Amalek fell upon them and slew them without mercy. Friends, that speaks to me of Hamas. That's exactly the tactics of Hamas. It's never changed and never will change. And what did the Lord say? He says, Moses, remember this because I'm not going to forget. Look what he says to him in the next verse. Therefore, because of this, it shall be when the Lord thy God hath given thee rest from all your enemies round about in the land which the Lord thy God gives thee for an inheritance to possess it, that thou shalt blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Thou shalt not forget it. Amen. Friends, God takes it very serious what they did to his children. God doesn't forget. And if you continue reading the prophecies, maybe you'll see it next time. What's going to be visited upon some of those nations around Israel now? You know, Damascus is going to be burnt. It's going to be destroyed until there's not one person living in there, according to the prophecies of the Bible. Syria, which is the genealogy of these people. The ones that hate Israel. God doesn't forget. Sometimes he may suffer long. But there comes a certain season, a certain generation. Like when Jesus said it to the Pharisees. He says, fill ye up the cup of your fathers. Amen. There comes a certain generation that fills up the cup which their fathers have been filling and then the cup overflows. And the cup of the iniquity of the Amorites got to a certain point and God came down and he destroyed. And friends, that's the age that we're living in. They're filling up the cup of their fathers. And just any day now, in Armageddon and the different wars that take place in the tribulation period, God is going to show that he doesn't forget. Amen. He doesn't forget what they did to his children. He says, blot them out. So it continues on from there. Where do we find Amalek next? It's with King Saul. When the Lord says to King Saul, his first mission, it says, now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay them, man and woman and so forth. And if King Saul had done his job, there would have been a lot less trouble in the world.
Amen.
But because of his incomplete obedience, because he never went and did the good job, he spared Agag, their king. And he spared certain ones alive. And obviously certain Amalekites escaped. Until Samuel the prophet had to come and say to him, why have you not fulfilled what the Lord said? He says, I've done the commandments of the Lord. He says, what meaneth then the bleating of the sheep in mine ears? And then Samuel got in the spirit and took the sword and slayed Agag. Right there, the king of the Amalekites. And you would have thought, okay, maybe you're not going to have the Amalekites anymore. But where do we find them next? In the book of Esther. The book of Esther. And what was happening in the book of Esther? Israel was just on the border of going back to the promised land again. They'd been given the decree. Cyrus says, whosoever, the Spirit of the Lord stirs up your heart, I'll give you everything you need to go back. Go back and rebuild the temple. Build the sepulchres of your fathers and so forth. And at that same time, what rose up? A man by the name of Haman. And after these things, did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite. Go and slay Agag the Amalekite, was told to Saul, but he never did the job. So now it comes back and it haunts his children. And friends, there's a spiritual principle there as well. Sometimes God has to leave to your children to repair some of the damage which you should have repaired. Sometimes God has to leave it to you. And Saul was of the tribe of Benjamin. And Mordecai and Esther were of the tribe of Benjamin. So the Lord had to raise up people from the tribe of Benjamin to come to do the job, which their father should have done all those generations before. And what was the attitude of this man? Haman. Haman said to the king, there's a certain people scattered abroad. Amazing. As soon as he gets power, what is he looking at? He looks at the Jews. Though they were a minority. They were nothing in the 127 provinces of the kingdom. They were just a small force of people. Showing that we're not wrestling with flesh and blood, friends. Amen. It's a spirit that was behind this man. The moment that he took charge, that old grudge of Esau and Jacob, it came back once again. And the devil thought, good. I've got the opportunity now. There's a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of your kingdom. And their laws are diverse from your laws. That's what it's going to be, friends. We have laws. The word we govern by that's diverse. It's different than the laws of this world. Thus far, things have been okay, but it's not always going to be okay. We're going to see it down the way. Like it was to Daniel, like it was to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, it was their standing for their laws that were diverse from the peoples of the earth in that day, that when the squeeze came down, it became a matter of life and death. And that's when Jehovah Nissi rose up. And he showed himself in the fiery furnace, and he showed himself in the lion's den, and he delivered the people of God at that kind of a time. Because that was the spirit of Amalek rising up in every generation, the Lord said. So it says in verse 9, if it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed. Imagine a man who gets a big position of power. He could have used it, all of his power, to edify, to build up, to unify. But it's the spirit of Lucifer upon this man. The spirit of Lucifer is always there to divide. Always there to be an adversary to the things of God. Always to destroy unity. Always to break down. And straight away when this man had power in his grasp, he looked straight at the Jews. And he said to the king, there's the certain people. He never named them, never gave much detail. Just give me your ring to seal a decree. Let me put it in the laws of the land and destroy these people. And the king, imagine what kind of a king this is. He doesn't even look into the issue at all. He's married one of these people.
Amen.
He says, I trust you. And he gives his ring.
Hallelujah.
They sign the decree. It's posted around the kingdom. That on certain day, and we know how it happened, they threw lots. Threw lots. Remember once before I spoke about it. How they threw lots trying to find the perfect day, and they threw the dice. Maybe they needed a double six. They said, ch-ch-ch. First day, second day. That went right to the end of the year. God, every time that dice was about to go double six, he blew the dice, went tick, just the other way. And those wise men with their lots say, we've never seen it like this. This is statistically impossible for this to happen. And by the time they got their double six, it was so far ahead in time. The children of God had plenty of time to prepare themselves for the war. And that's where the Jews get the Feast of Purim. Purim is the dice, is the lots that were cast. And that was the time they were delivered. When the next decree came and said, you can defend yourselves. And they defended themselves on the first day and won a victory on the second day. They have 2-day festival in about March time, a month before the Passover, called the Feast of Purim, which they remember God's great deliverance in the book of Esther. And we'll see the Feast of Purim as we continue on, that there's a real significance there. So the spirit of Haman rises up now, and he's determined to do this. Where do we find the same spirit rising up the next time? I'm not going to put a scripture, but it was in Herod. It was in Herod. Just at the time when the promise was born, the covenant promise was born. And do you know where Herod was from? Go and read your Bible. He was from Idumea, which means Edom. He was a descendant of Esau. That's who he was. He wasn't from Jacob, Herod. That's why he did the things that he did. He had maybe some of that same Amalekite blood inside of him. If he didn't have the Amalekite blood, he had the same spirit that was upon Esau, the same spirit that was upon Haman, the same spirit now came upon Herod. It's amazing all the H's start coming up. Haman, Herod, Hamas, Hitler, Saddam, Hussein. All of these are the ones that got anointed by the spirit of Amalek in each generation. And God had war with them. And the end of these people wasn't good, friends. None of them died a natural death lying in his bed, enjoying life at the end of his life. None of them. Because God says, I will wage war with Amalek in every generation. And friends, I don't want to contend with him who you can't contend against. I'd rather submit myself to him and say, thy will be done, Lord. You know better than me. You know what's right and you know what's wrong. But this world has got this anointing upon it that they want to contend with their maker. So Herod at that time, just like the brother was saying there, what did he do? Just when Jesus was born, it's always like that. Whenever things are starting to rise up in the covenant, the son of Esau, he's the king. It's like things have reversed. Here's Esau in control. God says, that's not the way that it should be. And here's the son of Jacob who's born, Jesus, the true son of Jacob. And he's going to be the real king. And Satan senses it at that time. Something's taken place. And Satan brings that anointing of Amalek once again, and he anoints this man, Herod. And he hears from the wise men. And then he hears from his sages and them that it's Bethlehem, and he sends, slaughter every child. See the spirit? Slaughter every baby that's there up to 2 years of age. Have no mercy, no pity. And his soldiers come, and the Bible had a prophecy. What is it? The weeping of Rachel. Because her children were no more. Just prophesied in the Bible. That's what it says. But that was the next time we find the spirit rising up, friends. And Herod, God smote him, the Bible says. Because he touched God's anointed one time too many, and he was consumed with worms, if you read your Bible. God smote when the people were saying, this isn't just a man, this is a God. Yeah. And God smote him there and then, and the man died such a painful and such a miserable death. Because you don't play around with the things of God.
Amen.
Rather, go and play with it. If you want to play around, go and play in the world, friends.
Amen.
Don't touch the holy vessels.
Amen.
Belshazzar made his final mistake. He could have had all of his concubines. He could have had all of his things that he was doing, and he would have survived. But the moment he took the holy vessels from the temple and started to play around with those anointed vessels, the handwriting came on the wall and says, tonight, numbered, weighed in the balance, your kingdom is taken from you. And he died that very night. He was put to death. And it never fails, friends. That principle never fails. The next time we find it really rising up, I'll skip some of them, but you find the pogroms in Russia. You find the Tsar, those saints who came from the Soviet Union, they know it in their history. The Tsar was so much against the Jews. And they persecuted the Jews. And just at the time when they had a pogrom, which was like when they would just mass together and fall upon the innocent Jews, destroy their homes, destroy their shops, murder them, beat them. There was a pogrom. There were so many of them in Russia. And just at the time when they plotted the fiercest pogrom, there came a revolution. And the Tsar was removed and he was put to death. If you go and read in history. He touched God's anointed one time too many. And Russia, that could have been such a superpower at that time, it became a prison camp, the whole place.
Amen.
Because they had taken the sons and daughters of God, the Jews, and put them in ghettos and treated them like that. God allowed the system of communism to overrule, take over the whole country, and the whole country became a ghetto under the Soviet Union. You couldn't move from city to city without permission. You couldn't just live where you wanted or work where you wanted or travel where you wanted. You see how God visits it back in a greater measure than what you meted out. And God says, oh, you want to do that to my people? Let me show you what it's like. And how long was communism in charge of Russia? How long was Russia one big... They had to wall the people in. They had to make walls around Berlin because all the people wanted to leave the Soviet Union. They had to put walls and fences and guards to keep the people in. Do you want to live in that kind of a system? That's not that kind of a system you want to live in. But that was once again when you saw the same spirit rise up. And then came the real Haman in his day. Hitler. Adolf Hitler. Adolf means a wolf. And that's what a wolf does. A wolf preys on the weak and the defenseless. It waits for something to get away from the flock. Something gets sick. Preys on that. That's the nature of a wolf. And let me just show you. Remember Brother George Martin preached on it for us. But just to show you how God turns these things around. Hitler got into power. He was absolutely Amalek in his day. He was so possessed by the spirit of Amalek, that man. He was just consumed with one thing, to destroy the Jews. To destroy. Doesn't matter what price he had to pay. Doesn't matter if he's going to lose the war. He's going to destroy the Jews. And where did he start? He started from Nuremberg. They called the Nuremberg Laws. And Hitler got all of his SS and all of them together in this one place. And they made all these laws against the Jews. That the Jews can't marry Gentiles and the Jews can't work in the public service. And they plotted now the final solution of the Jewish problem in Nuremberg. And then it looked like they're going to win because the Jews, 6 million, are put to death. Men, women, children, innocents like that. Can you not see the spirit of Hamas once again?
Amen.
The spirit of Haman once again. The spirit of Herod once again. Look at them all being put to death. And then finally God, Jehovah Nissi, raises up the nations of the world. And they destroy Germany. And then they round up the sons of Haman, the sons of Hitler, his generals and all of them. And where did they have the trial? The Nuremberg trials. The same gallows that Haman made to kill Mordecai, to hang the Jews, he was hanged on the same gallows himself. And when now they brought those 10, there were 11 of them, the sons, the generals of Hitler, and they brought them to Nuremberg to trial. One of them, Goering, I think, took poison the night before, and they ended up being 10 of them, exactly the same as the 10 sons of Haman. And they were taken to court, and their sentence was pronounced. If you remember, Brother George Martin said, it's true if you can read history. And the judge was going to say firing squad, but for some reason says you shall be hanged. Why? Because the sons of Haman had to be hanged. It was Purim once again. It was the deliverance of the children of God. And they took those 10 generals, those ones that were found guilty, and they hanged them one by one. And the 10th one, Julius Streicher, as he was pushed to the gallows, he says, Purim 1946. Because he knew what was happening. He knew this was a repeat of the book of Esther. That Haman and his sons were put to death on the gallows. And he found they were put to death in the very place where they plotted the downfall of the Jews.
Amen.
See how it all is visits around. The Bible says, those that dig a pit for you to fall in, they'll fall in the pit themselves.
Amen.
They'll fall in the pit themselves, friends.
Amen.
They'll make a big gallows and boast about it. Haman, yeah, look how great that I am. Not knowing who was going to hang on the gallows the next day. But the Lord always turns it around like that. Then came Saddam Hussein. Another itch. And he said he was Nebuchadnezzar reborn once again. And he was going to persecute the Jews. And the last 13 years of his life, he plotted against the Jews. And then finally he makes a mistake. He goes into Kuwait and he says, no, Kuwait doesn't want to make an agreement to do whatever it was with oil. He invades one of his brother's land. And the whole world rises up against him. The first Gulf War, remember? George H. Bush. And what does he say, Hussein? He said, if you bomb me, I bomb Israel. Israel wasn't even in the war. Israel had nothing to do with it. Now that was his mistake. He should never have said that. Now listen what he did. He sent 39 Scud missiles into Israel. Many people remember it from that time. Somebody came once to an unbeliever and says, miracles still happen. And this man says, miracles don't happen. Show me a miracle. This was in 1991, just after the Gulf War had finished. And he says, let me tell you, show you this miracle. He said, altogether, 39 Scud missiles were launched against Israel. 10 tons of explosives fell on Israel. 15,000 properties were damaged. 10,992 apartments, 235 houses, 3,773 other buildings. You know how many people died?
Yeah, two.
Yeah, he says that's the miracle of the Gulf War. Because those were big missiles, friends. Yeah. So Scud missiles from Zimbabwe, remember the Scud missile? They're serious missiles. 39 of them rained down, destroyed 13,000 buildings, and two people died from the missiles. If you go and read, there's a book about it showing the miracles of the Gulf War. There were all the people when a bomb shot and a bomb hit directly and everything collapsed and not one person was injured. And the president went to the next day and asked how many people died and they said not one person died. And he said it's not possible. And they said it was one of the miracles of the Gulf War. Because he that keeps Israel shall not slumber, friends. So, what does Saddam do? He uses his weapons of mass destruction and he shoots them at Israel. So what is his downfall? The weapons of mass destruction. Amen. He boasts a little bit too much. He says, I've got weapons of mass destruction, though he didn't have them. It was his mistake. But he's touched the Lord's anointed. He shouldn't have done that, that spirit of Amalek that was upon him. The nations of the world came against him. And if ever there was a defeat, if ever there was nations that destroyed one nation, it was that Gulf War. There was no mercy. He was completely destroyed until he went out to hide like a rat in a hole. Remember, he was several months hiding like a rat in a hole with his $75 million with him. And then finally they brought him out of the hole. And how did he die? Like Haman, the same spirit that was upon him. His own people hung him on a gallows. And that's the way that miserable man's life came to an end. Friends, you don't play around with the things of God. You don't touch the people of God. What had Israel got to do with that war? Had nothing to do with it. But he had sworn himself for 13 years. He paid the Palestinians. He says, if your children go and blow themselves up as suicide bombers, I'll give you each money. And he used to pay the families of the suicide bombers. That is the spirit of the Amalekites, friends. Now, we'll come to a close and we'll continue next week. This is what the Jews say. They say, our sages teach us that eventually the Jewish people will return to God either voluntarily by the word, or if not, God will raise up another despot whose decrees shall be as severe as Haman. There's coming a greater than Haman, friends, and his name is the Antichrist.
Amen.
And he's from seven hills. And he's going to unite himself together with Esau and his children, unite himself together with Ishmael and his children, and he's going to cause a lot of trouble to the covenant people of God, and that's the Antichrist, the beast. But we'll finish with a couple of scriptures. What happens at that time? At that time, shall Michael stand up. Jehovah Nissi. I will have war with Amalek in every generation. Whenever he rises up, God will use whatever means he has. He may have to use different nations, have to use different things. But he'll destroy Amalek in every generation. And Israel is a living proof of that, friends, with all the wars that they've been through. He says, at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which stands for the children of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was, since there was a nation even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. Friends, Michael's already risen up for us. There we see him in the cloud. Michael's already risen up, Jehovah Nissi. He's gathered us under his banner. He's anointed us with all that we need. He's equipping us and anointing us and quickening us for the final conflict to come, the squeeze, the third pull. But the same Michael, Jehovah Nissi, has to go and rise up for them as well. Because the natural seed's going to get itself in an awful amount of trouble. Because it's going to make a covenant with Amalek, a covenant with Rome in the end. What about Isaiah 59? We sometimes read some of it, but we don't read the rest. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And the next verse, and the Redeemer shall come to Zion. And unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. The prophet uses that scripture in 70 weeks of Daniel, showing that Joseph is going to reveal himself to his brothers. When his brothers are in distress and anguish, Jehovah Nissi is going to rise up once again. And he's going to have a provision for his people, the 144,000. Let's finish with Psalm 121. This is what David says. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord. If you go back to Exodus 17, Jehovah Nissi, what was God showing? Moses went up the mountain. Joshua was fighting the Amalekites in the valley, but neither of them had the power to do the job. Where was the power? When they lifted up Moses' hands that had the judgment rod. That was Jehovah lifting up his banner. The hands of Moses with the judgment rod. That's where the power was. Israel now is trusting in its military strength. They're trusting in the Iron Dome and stuff. The Lord is going to strip that away from them in the tribulation. And they're going to get into such a huge amount of trouble. Jacob's trouble. We'll see it next time. But Michael will rise up and show that it's not by power and it's not by might. It's not by your military strength. It's not by your intelligence. It's not by your inventions that you possess your inheritance. But it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And the Spirit of Jehovah Nissi will be ministered through Moses and Elijah to them. And God will raise up a banner in Israel, an ensign in that day, and gather his people under that third pull ministry of Moses and Elijah. And that's how they'll prevail and overcome. That's the only way that they're going to do it. That's why it says, my help cometh from the Lord. Verse 3. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade on thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Let's stand, friends. Let's come to a time of worship, friends. Let's sing to Jehovah Nissi.
Amen.
To Jesus. The fullness of the God is He. How wonderful He is. And He's gathered us under His banner, friends. And I'm so glad to be enlisted in the great host of the captain of the host of the Lord, Michael the Archangel. Let's come to a time of worship, a time of prayer. Then we have a dedication.
There's a love that is fairer than day, and by faith we can sit afar, for the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there in the sweet. By and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore, in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore. We shall sing on that beautiful shore.
On that beautiful shore.
The melodious songs of the blessed. And our spirit shall
sorrow no more,
not a sigh for the blessing of rain.
In the sweet
by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. To our bountiful Father above,
to our Father above,
we will offer tribute of praise for the glorious gifts of your love, and the blessings that hallow our day. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. By and by, when the morning comes, saints all God are gathered home, we shall tell the story how we overcome, for we'll understand it better by and by.
We are
often tossed and driven on the restless sea of time, somber skies and howling tempests, offside see the bright sunshine. In that land of perfect heaven, mists have rolled away, we will understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, all the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story how we overcome, for we'll understand it better by and by. We are often destitute of the things that life demands, want of food and want of shelter,
thirsty
hills and barren lands. We are trusting in the Lord, and according to His word, we will understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, oh, the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story how we overcome, for we'll understand it better by and by. Temptations, hidden snares often take us unawares, hearts are made to bleed for many a thoughtless word or deed,
and we
wonder why the test when we try to do our best, we'll understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, all the saints of God are gathered home, tell the story how we overcome, for we'll understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, oh, the saints of God are gathered home, tell the story how we overcome,
for we'll understand it better by and by.
Nations are breaking,
Israel's awakening, signs that the prophets foretold. The Gentile is numbered, horrors encumbered, eternity soon will unfold. The day of redemption is here. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps trimmed and clear. Look up, your redemption is here. The victory is growing, Jerusalem's restoring, the national life long dethroned. Today she is calling, latter rains are falling, return, O disperse to your own. The day of redemption is here. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps trimmed and clear. Look up, your redemption is here. Heaven's powers are shaking, many are mistaking God's meaning to be of the sky. God's church is the power shaking this hour. The day of redemption is nigh. The day of redemption is here. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps trimmed and clear. Look up, your redemption is near. False prophets are lying, false truth they're denying, that Jesus the Christ is our God. Generation, God's revelation, we'll walk where the apostles have walked. The day of redemption is here. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps trimmed and clear. Look up, your redemption is. Look up, your redemption is. Look up, your redemption is.
Amen. Let's bow our heads. We want to come to a time of prayer. But before we do it, you want to expose the devil. Have you been allowing that spirit upon you? That spirit of criticism against your brethren. That spirit of the world that's against the covenant sons and daughters of God. Whether it be the bride, whether it be Israel. And you wanted to raise your hand up now to expose him, to say, I'm tired of this. I expose the spirit now and I say, no more. Just as much as Job and Nisi raised a banner, I'm raising my hand. To say, I'm declaring war against the spirit of Amalek. I don't want this influence in my life anymore. I don't want this oppression in my life anymore. I don't want to give room to this anymore. Then the best thing, once you've raised your hand, is you pray.
Amen.
And you rebuke that thing. Amen. And you do like Jacob did. You wrestle with the angel of the Lord until there's a change within you. If you're needing salvation, speak to the rock. If you're needing healing, speak to the rock. Whatever he is, call upon his name. Let each and every one of us call upon his name this day in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we call upon the name at this time, Lord. We look unto thee even now. Father, you are good. Father, your promises are good. Your promises are true. Your promises are sure. And Father, as we come even upon this day, Father,
Father, you said that you would.
Let's just continue to worship saints.
Enter the holies of holies.
I enter through the blood of the Lamb. I enter to worship you only. I enter to honor I am. Lord, I worship you. I worship.
I worship you, Jesus.
I worship you.
I worship you.
For your name is holy.
For your name is holy.
Holy.
For your name is holy, God.
Through the blood of the Lamb,
oh,
I enter to worship you only.
To worship you only.
I enter to honor I am. Lord, I worship you. I worship.
Lord,
I worship you. I worship you. For your name is holy.
For your name is holy.
Holy.
For your name is holy, God. For your name is holy.
For your name is holy. Temple, giving thanks to the ancient of days,
to honor him
for his mercies unto us. Give thanks to the ancient of days.
Praise the Lord,
praise the Lord.
All holy people,
how excellent is thy name.
Praise his name.
Praise his name. For his mercies unto us. Give thanks to the ancient of days.
We give you thanks, Lord.
Give thanks to the ancient of days.
Ancient of days.
Give thanks to the ancient of days.
Ancient of days.
Give thanks to the ancient of days.
Let's sing one more breath.
Take me past the outer
the holy place. Past the brazen altar, Lord, I want to see your face. Pass me by the crowds of people, bring the priests who sing your praise. A hunger and thirst for your righteousness, and it's only found in your presence, Lord. Take me to the holy, holy. Take me in by the blood of the Lamb. Take me to the holy of holies. Take the coal, cleanse my lips, here I am.
Take the coal,
take the coal, cleanse my lips, here I am.
Take me past the coal,
take me past the outer coals, into the holy place, past the brazen altar. Lord, I want to see your face. Pass me by the crowds of people, bring the priests who sing your praise. I hunger and thirst for your righteousness, and it's only found in your presence. Take me to the holy of holies. Take me by the blood of the Lamb. Take me to the holy of holies. Take the cold, cleanse my lips, here I am.
Take the cold,
take the cold, cleanse my lips, here I am.
Since you want to come to a dedication, Brother Tony and Sister Ruth have asked us to dedicate their grandchild. Amen. Hey, it sounds funny to say Brother Tony's grandchild. We remember when we were young, yeah? Now, people may ask questions about dedicating children who are not of believers and so forth. Friends, it's not the fault of the child.
Amen.
It's not the fault of the baby, how it was born. It's not the fault of the baby. Maybe the confusion many times it's born in. What is the best thing we can do with that baby? Is put it in the hands of Jesus. That's what I believe. You may disagree with me, but me, I believe that's the right way to do it.
Amen.
So when he asked me, he said, can we dedicate the baby? I said, by all means. Let's dedicate this baby to the Lord.
Amen.
Let it learn maybe from the mistakes of its parents. Let it learn from maybe the things it'll have to do in its upbringing, but it needs the grace of God.
Amen.
It needs at this age, before it goes any further, to have some influence of Christ in its upbringing. So I really said, fine, brother, bring the baby. Let's dedicate this baby and put him in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord, you breathe life into this child. You take control of this life.
Amen.
And let something good come out of this.
Amen.
And use this as a testimony and something for your glory. So let's sing. Bring them in, and we ask if the baby will come.
Birds out in the dim, zip dark and drip, calling the sheep who have gone astray. Far from the shepherd's fold away,
we want to pray for Cassie today to dedicate her to the Lord. We want to also bind any spirits that are upon her, anything that may take advantage of her and the situation that she's in, to pray that she may be a blessing and a testimony to her parents, that Christ may use this little child to bring the parents to himself or back unto himself.
Amen.
We just want to bring this little baby that knows nothing of what's going on and just say, Lord, let this be an instrument in your hands for your glory, and let it be a blessing. So let's pray for Cassie. Father, we bring Cassie unto thee upon this day. Father, before the foundation of the world, you knew this little baby would be born, and you knew the generation that should be born in, with the spirit of Amalek all around. Father, with this evil and wickedness, Lord, and malice. And Father, we see unbelief on every hand. Father, she finds herself in the situation that she is. Lord Jesus, all we could think of doing is bringing her unto you. We don't have the solution to these problems, Lord. Father, we don't have the answers, Lord. Father, it's not by power and it's not by might, but it's by your grace. It's by your mercy. It's by your spirit. And Jesus, the best thing that we can do, we want to call Jesus on the scene.
Amen.
Father, we want to bring this little baby. We want to just give her into your hands and just say, Lord Jesus, wrap your arms around her. Father, right at this time, Lord, Father, how we curse any work of the devil. Any influence of the devil, anything she would have inherited from her parents, anything that would follow inside of her life, Lord, we just pray, Lord, let a new generation start from her. Speak to her at a young age, Lord. Influence her, Lord. Do something inside of her life, Lord, that she'd be a testimony and a blessing, Lord, that even if the parents would be far from you, Father, when they'd look at this little girl, Father, reveal yourself. Father, you said in the mouth of babes and infants, you would make yourself known. Let it be so. Father, you said you take the weak things, even the foolish things of the earth, to declare yourself. So we pray, take this little child, Lord, into your hands, Lord. Father, we break every fetter, Lord, the hands of the devil. Father, we say to the evil one, you take your hands off this child. Because Jesus, you shed your blood for Cassie, Lord. You shed your blood, Lord, as an atonement for her sins and the sins of her parents. Father, we bring and dedicate her back unto thee. I pray for her parents. I pray your grace upon them. I pray that you'd visit their souls. I pray that you'd reveal yourself unto them. I pray that you'd reveal to them the responsibility that they have, Lord. That you put life in their hands, Lord. The life isn't just to be brought up any kind of a way. But reveal unto them as parents the sacred responsibility. The sacred trust that you've given unto them, Lord. And even to the grandparents, may you grant them grace and mercy, Lord. May you bless them for their desire. May you bless them, Lord, where their heart is, Lord. May you bless them for the way they've looked at this situation, Lord. And Father, continue to use them for your glory, Lord, to win the father and the mother of the child, we'd ask and pray. Father, we bring this child back up unto thee. Father, we dedicate her into your hands for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, sister. Thank you. God bless you, brother. Amen. Amen. Saints, let's sing one more song, then we come to a close. If anybody desires prayer, if you're sick, please feel free to come forward. If you want to be anointed with oil, let's continue to worship a little bit. And then we'll dismiss in Jesus' name. Let's not forget Wednesday evening, something special for the young people and for the parents as well. Let's all try to come if we can. I think it'll be a blessing. We're thankful for the youth yesterday. May the Lord continue to bless the youth. And may the Lord help us in the days that lay before. Amen.
Jesus, draw me close.
This is the air that I breathe. Oh, this is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. Oh, I'm desperate for you. And I'm lost without you. I'm lost without you, my Lord. And I I'm desperate for you. I'm lost without you, Jesus. Jesus, draw me closer, Lord, to you. My desire, oh, this is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart. I worship you, oh Lord, I worship you, Jesus.
Song sent to us, Brother Will, if you wouldn't mind coming to close in prayer, and may the Lord be with us as we depart in Jesus' name. Let's sing the days of Elijah. These are the days of Elijah. Many people don't believe it, but I believe it. I believe that's the raised standard in this age. That Jehovah Nissi has raised the standard once again.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trials, famine and darkness and sorrow, still we are the voice in the desert's crying, prepare the way of the Lord. Behold, He comes, riding on a cloud, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice, year of Jubilee. Out of Zion's hill, salvation comes. He comes, riding on the cloud, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice, year of Jubilee. Out of Zion's hill, salvation comes. These are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding the temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest, the fields are as white as your word. And we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, He comes, riding on a cloud, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice, year of Jubilee. Out of Zion's hill, salvation comes. Oh, there's no God.
There is no God like Jehovah. 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 Behold, He comes, riding on a cloud, shining like the sun. At the trumpet sounds, lift your voice, year of Jubilee. Out of Zion's hill, salvation comes. Behold, He comes, riding on a cloud, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice, year of Jubilee. Out of Zion's hill, salvation comes.
Amen.
Father, we are thankful, oh God.
Yes, Lord.
Father, when we see all these things happening, how it was written so many thousands of years ago, Lord. Oh God, what it does to our faith.
Amen.
To know that we have believed in Him who is faithful.
Amen.
To keep every one of His promises.
Lord,
it was written so many years ago, Lord, that You would neither slumber nor sleep, but that You would wage war against the Amalekites.
Amen,
from year to year, from generation to generation.
Yes,
and Father, we see it being fulfilled right before us in our own eyes.
Amen.
Oh God, it just raises our faith so much.
Yes, Lord.
Father, to know that the same one who made that promise also made it to us, Lord,
yes, Lord,
that You would not leave us alone, but
Amen.
That You be with us to the end of the world, Lord.
Amen.
No matter what the devil may raise against us, Lord, Father, we are safe in You, Lord.
Amen.
What else could we do but to rejoice and to give
yes,
You
Lord.
Glory?
Yes, Yes, Lord.
Father, to glorify your name, for you are faithful, O God. We thank you, Father, for your word.
Yes, Lord.
Let it be, O God, that in our hearts would take courage this afternoon.
Amen.
And stand in our posts of duty, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And continue to minister, Lord. Father, to do thy will in this world, O God.
Amen.
Father, for there isn't much time, Lord.
Amen.
Looking at the way the events are unfolding.
Amen.
Lord, there's just a little few more days, Lord.
Amen.
And Father, in those days, I want to save you, Lord, with
Amen.
All that I have.
Yes.
So help us, O God.
Amen.
We pray for the children as they are growing up, Lord.
Amen.
May you keep them too, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we commit every one of them into your hands.
Amen.
And we pray, Father, for the ministry of your word in this
Amen.
Place. May you bless our brother Andrew.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, oh God, taking his time, Lord, searching these things out for the edification of your children.
Please, Lord.
May you bless his labors, Lord.
Yes,
Father,
Lord.
You said you are righteous
Amen.
And that you would not forget all our labors of love.
Amen.
Father, I pray your blessing, Lord,
Please,
upon
Lord.
The musicians, Lord,
yes, Lord,
coming in early to
Amen.
Practice, Lord. Father, oh God, that they may bring something perfect that would honor you, Lord. May
yes,
you bless
Lord.
Them, Father.
Please,
the
Lord.
Sunday school teachers preparing
Amen.
Themselves, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Father, oh God, to teach thy children.
Amen.
Father, even those that would come and sweep, Lord.
Yes.
Oh God, and do this and that just... Father, that we could have a place where we could sit down and hear your word being preached. We
yes,
pray
Lord.
Your blessing upon all these ministries, Lord.
Amen.
Be with us now, Lord, even as
yes,
we
Lord.
Leave this place.
Amen.
We pray, Father, oh God, for the devil is never happy when he's exposed.
Amen.
But Father, he will raise up his head again.
Amen.
But we
Amen.
Take courage in knowing that you defeated him
yes.
many years ago, Lord.
Amen.
No matter what he may bring to us this week, Lord, Father, we would still be here praising you the coming week. Be with us, Father, until we meet again on Wednesday.
Yes,
we pray, Father, that you go with us, O God. May you be with our sister Carol as
Amen.
She goes for the operation this week.
Yes,
we commit it to you, Father,
yes,
that all
yes,
would go yes, well
yes,
and that we would hear a testimony, Lord,
Amen.
Of how great you are in her life, Father.
Yes,
be with us now, Lord, as we commit every person into thine hands in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let me just ask Sister Mami to take greetings to Brother Christian and the saints down there as well. God bless you, Sister.
Rejoicing that we shall have.